Hey everyone, before we get started, if you've got a second, Tess and I would really appreciate it if you could hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. It makes a big difference for us as we're developing this podcast, and it just lets you know when our new episodes are released. Thank you.
And if you guys nail these, we're probably going to be out of jobs.
So the topic we're talking about today is recasting. You know, you're whipping them into submission. You must say it correctly.
Awful. I hate my profession.
Now we know what it feels like to be taught anything. Kind of want your child to look at you like, what on earth is going on, Mum?
What are you doing? Like, wow. Do it in my baby voice.
I am so agreeing with you right here, baby Tess. Such a magical strategy. Kia ora and welcome to the You've Got This podcast with Zazie and Tess. Tess and I are speech and language therapists with a combined 18 years working in the field with children and their whānau, so we know a thing or two about what makes them tick.
We want to empower you to know exactly what you can do to support your child's development. We're going to be touching on all of the important topics that you want to hear about, from speech and language development to managing tricky behaviours or supporting your little one to transition to school.
You can even request episodes that you want to hear more on. Just head to our Instagram at You've Got This Podcast. We'd absolutely love your support over on Patreon. Head to You've Got This, where we'll be offering extra episodes and unique resources that we've created to support you on your journey.
We like to have a bit of a laugh and keep it real, so thanks for listening. We're over the moon to have you along for the ride.
Hello and welcome to the You've Got This podcast. Today we are starting episode one of our strategies that speechies wish you knew, which is going to be a series that we're going to be dropping in amongst our other regular podcasts, which explore different strategies that as speechies we wish that you knew.
And absolutely. As we identified the other day, there are maybe like 6 to 8 key strategies that speech and language therapists try to teach adults that work across all areas of child development. You know, they help if your child is stuttering, they help if your child is struggling to process or understand language, they help if your child's speech sounds aren't quite perfect. So we just thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we could do some episodes that one by one we go through the core strategies that we wish everyone knew and could start building into their everyday interactions.
And if you guys nail these, we're probably going to be out of jobs. And yeah. It's also, it's going to help your child for their natural development. So if your child doesn't have a delay or disorder, but it is also going to help you as a family if you're suspecting that your child does have a speech or language delay or disorder.
Yeah.
So if you do end up working with therapists or get any early intervention support, these strategies will be strategies that they're recommending. And it means that you'll be able to fast track the other therapy that they'll be able to provide.
Yeah, you'll be ahead of the game. These are like the base of what we hoped everyone, you know, the core of what we wish everyone could do. And then we can add more specialist stuff depending on what mm-hmm. your child is presenting with. And I brought this topic to the table today because my poor, I was going to say husband, we are not at all married, but I call him husband. Or what else would I call
engaged,
him at this point?
John.
He's amazing. But the poor man, I mean, he's around me as a speech therapist all the time. And I would say essentially at this point, he's a trained speech and language therapist. Like he is identifying specific type of lisps from a distance. Like, you must. I talk too much. But the other day, Etta came in and she was like, Nana bring it for me. And John responded with, oh, Nana brought it, did she? Fantastic. And I was just doing the dishes, and I was just had so much pride in John because I was like, wow, you did an amazing example of recasting there. So the topic we're talking about today is recasting. It'll be interesting just from listening to that example whether you can tell what recasting is. How would you describe it, Tess?
I would describe recasting as giving a bit of feedback where the adult models the correct production of the speech sounds or the correct sentence structure. So the example that you gave was, I brought it. What did she
Nana
say?
Nana said, she said, Nana bringed it. Nana bringed it to
Nana
me.
Nana bringed it. So you've said, instead of saying, oh, Nana bringed it to you, you've said, oh, Nana brought it. So you've modeled the correct language there with absolutely no pressure for Etta to respond or to repeat back, and that is key with the strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like saying for your child what they would if they could. So there's no expectation that they copy. You don't want it to sound like you're correcting them. Like, brought it. Nana brought it. Like you're some, you know, you're whipping them into submission. You must say it correctly. You're just, you're almost just agreeing with them with your tone of voice, but you're saying it the way that it should be said. So this works for grammatical errors or language errors, in like the example I just said, but it also works for speech sounds, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you gave an example for language, but for speech sounds, which is like the articulation of words, it could be an example that, look, mummy, at the nail. It's a limey nail. So what am I trying to say there, Zaz?
Limey. I love that. Oh, limey. It sounds like you're trying to say slimy snail. So I'd be saying, Yes. Oh, a snail. I can see that snail too. It's so slimy. I'm so aware of the ASMR that people will be getting through their headphones at this point. Slimy. But can you hear that in my tone of voice? I am so agreeing with you right here, baby Tess. You in that moment should feel like, oh my god, I got it right. I have seen a slimy snail. But the difference here is I'm putting so much emphasis on that sound that you were missing. The slimy snail, you're right, the slimy snail. And honestly, the more times you can say it, the better. Even if it sounds like you're having a stroke, it's so slimy. Oh my gosh, it's slimy. Because you kind of want your child to look at you like, what on earth is going on, Mom?
What are you doing?
Like, what
this
are you doing?
Reminds me of a time where my friends came over from New Zealand with their 2-year-old, I think 2.5, Jack. And I was sitting in the back seat of the car with him, and he said something about a scooter. I couldn't hear anything else he was saying about the scooter. And I was like, yeah, scooter. And he was like, you heard me, kept on going. But then he was like, no, 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 fuck. And like kept on pointing. It was like, fuck. And I was like, we were looking at each other like, truck? And he was like, no, fuck.
Oh no, what was it?
Going round and round. And he was trying to say that something was stuck.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I don't know, it was hilarious. We were literally like shaking with laughter, like just trying to keep like adulting and keep being like, oh yeah, it's truck stuck, muck. Like, what are you trying to say?
My kids have definitely gone through the fuck is truck stage or this truck, whatever the order is. There's so many examples of that, hey, of kids saying the absolute wrong thing in the moment. It's even worse when it's in public. But the best way of responding is to say it back and say it multiple times. Repeat, because if you sound weird, if your child's looking at you like, are you having a stroke, Mum? Then they're more likely to be queuing in and listening to you. And our children learn absolutely everything else through listening, right? They're listening to what you're saying, and that's how they're learning all of their language and vocabulary. They're watching everything you do, and that's how they learn how to behave. So the more examples you can give that are correct, the more likely they are to say it correct. So that's where recasting comes in. I'm going to do a couple more examples. I'm going to be the baby this time, and Tess, you're going to be the speech therapist trainer. So.
Okay, baby Zaz, I'm going to do an example of me not recasting, and then I am going to do an example of me recasting. Let's go.
So if I said, me hungry.
Me hungry. Me hungry too. Let's get something to eat. Wow. Dude, in my baby voice.
Yeah. So kind of you are agreeing with me.
It feels so unnatural for me to not recast.
So baby Zaz right now feels like, oh wow, you understood what I said and I got my point across. So there's that positive. Yeah. But actually, I haven't learned how I could say it better.
No.
So now do it as if you were the magical speech and language therapist that you are. Me hungry.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry too. Let's get something to eat.
It's so weird doing it as an example. We sound forced as, but you get the gist. I need something to eat.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because like I'm also thinking of what we model at school because we use communication systems. So I'm thinking of the core words that are also on the main page. So it's like limiting my flexibility and my response almost because I know what we model on the AAC systems.
Okay, try about this one. So if I'm pointing at dad, so
I feel under
as
pressure,
a baby,
you know.
If I'm it's pointing hard. At dad and I was to say, she funny, how would you respond to that without recasting?
Oh, I'd just be like, yes.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Great example. Yeah. Just agreeing. But how would you respond if you were recasting? I'm pointing at daddy and saying, she funny.
He is funny. He is wearing a funny hat today.
Nice. And last one, what if baby Zaz was like, I not like it?
Well, you have to like it. You have to eat your dinner.
Wow, that's so what people would say as well.
Yeah. Terrifying. Meal times. Mm. Stress me out. Okay,
so if you were recasting, you know, my language here and I said, I'd not like it, how would you respond?
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it either. We can have it later.
Nice. So can you hear the difference there, folks, as you're listening to us doing ridiculous role plays to each other across Zoom?
I know. I feel like there's so much pressure now. I'm like, am I feel like a mum when I say to them, like, let me now watch you do the strategy. Like, awful.
Awful. Well, at least we've had that example. Now awful. We know what it feels
I
like.
I hate my profession.
To be taught anything. Yeah, like, let's quit. I think this, guys, is the end of the podcast. It was so nice knowing you.
Yeah, this has gone one step too far. I am uncomfortable.
But look, if everyone was doing this, the impact would be huge. Because if you think about this in the classroom, every time a child says something not quite right, a teacher feels empowered to know that I can sort of agree with them, but say it the right way back to them. It would mean that children were hearing way more positive models of what they could say and saying it correctly. I know so many teachers saying, I don't know what to do. There's a child in my class that isn't, you know, that has speech sound errors. I don't know where to start. This would be a great place to start. Yeah. Hey,
this is literally what we said to every family member. Just repeat it back and just go a bit slower, say it clearly. And you can even go one step further. So for the example we were giving, you can make a bit of like a thing about it. So I sometimes do it with my kids, be like, oh, that's that snake sound, and do a bit of an action that goes with it so that it kind of really emphasizes it. If you know that that is the speech sound that you are working on, the only barrier with doing this is that you don't want to be emphasizing and putting a lot of stress on every single speech sound. If your child has got a lot of speech sound errors or a lot of sounds missing, you don't work on all of them at one time. You'd work with a speech language therapist to identify which sound you're going to start with. So that's only if that's kind of like the only sound that they're making the errors with.
We obviously hang out with a lot of parents and a lot of teachers, and we say this is a strategy we'd like everyone to know, because I don't hear it all that often, do you? Unless you've worked with someone on it. It's rare that I hear a parent recasting what their child has said when it's said an error, and all I can really do is model it and hope that other parents, you know, pick up on it, because it's such a magical strategy. So hopefully for some people listening to this, this can be like that aha moment of, this is something I can try. You know, think of something that your child has said to you earlier today that wasn't quite right, or that was funny. You know, it's really cute when our kids say things not quite right.
That Widow Wabbit.
Yeah.
Parents used to love, like, think it was so cute when we were working together in Dunedin. They just thought it was a cute speech error. And so they didn't repeat it back and didn't go, yes, it is a little rabbit, which is going to cause maybe some problems later down the line.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a hard one. I've heard lots of people talk about this, because it is really cute when our kids say things not quite right. It is adorable, and sometimes you've got to pick your battles with some things. If there's something that's so adorably cute, but your child is more likely to say it correctly and to learn those correct speech patterns if we say it back correctly.
Yeah.
So for sure, take some practice. Hey, parents could practice this of their own accord, or even just practice in their head if they're not feeling super confident to do it straight away. But you could think of something that your child said to you today before you listen to this and think, what would I have said again to give them correct feedback? Because when you're in this mindset, you'll hear a few more errors, because things like me hungry gets the point across, right? Your child has got their point across. They've said it semi-correctly, and they can get their needs met. But yeah, it is missing the teaching opportunity to not say it back in the right way. The same with, that example of nail. Because you would get it, right? In the moment, you'd be like, right, yeah, you've got it. But you're missing that teaching opportunity to not say, oh, a snail. Let's pick it up. I picked up a worm the other day. I picked up a worm. Like, you know when you try to, like, model what you want to see? My kids were like, oh, look, a worm. And I was like, oh, cool, pick it up. Thinking, I don't want to bloody pick up a worm like that. And my son was like, Etta, you do it. So I like boldly went in there and picked up this worm, because I was like, I want a model. Don't be scared of a worm. Like, but I was hating my life. And I put it in his hand. I was like, do you want to hold it? I made it look kind of cool. And I put it in his hand, and he was just like,
slimy slithered worm.
Up his hand, like slid off his hand into the stones. He was just like, I've regretted my entire life with that.
I trusted you.
This few worm was dropped from a high time with me trying to model a cool, chill parent. God, if it was a spider, there'd be no way. There was a spider in here the other day, a fast-moving spider, and I had to stand looking at it, and I called John. He was literally in the next room. I called him and was like, John, can you come and save me from an arachnid, just in case the kids are listening? I don't want them to know. He'd be scared. I was like, there's an arachnid issue. Could you come in immediately? And I get so like angry whenever there's something I'm scared of. And John came in and looked.
I love that you categorized it as a fast moving variety.
Oh my God, it was like moving at the speed of light. It was on speed. And he came in and John just kind of looked. And I was like, don't just look, get some tissue.
Get it.
Because that's the next step in this. Don't just stare. I'm looking at it for us. You know, I'm like, not a human until it's
do
out.
Do you kill spiders or release spiders?
Nope, they're as dead as can be.
Yeah, that's the same as Maddie, my flatmate. But I try to keep them alive.
Oh, look at you being a very good person. I cannot. I'm very scared. They need to be away as soon as possible. And often that's the only way to catch them.
To squish them.
Oh, no, no. I don't. You can give me whatever backlash you want for that. I'm just going with the spider.
Murderer.
Goodness me. No, but I do like to model. When my kids are around, I'm like, oh, look at that spider. Should we try and catch it? And I give August like a container and I'm like, this is how we'll kindly catch the spider. And but I learned recently that phobias can be like hereditary.
Oh.
It can be passed down regardless of like the stuff that you're saying.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
All right. Well, to summarize what we've spoken about today. We've touched on recasting and the importance of commenting, which is really just where you're listening to what your child is saying and repeating it back to them from their perspective, but with a sort of more language or the appropriate language or the appropriate speech sounds. And then you just continue on your conversation. So it's not putting any extra demand on your children or your child. It's literally just repeating things back with a better language model.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think an old school way of doing it would have been like, I just imagine like a very old Nana being like, that's not how you say it like this.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And it's cutting out that middleman and just saying it how it's meant to be said, because your child is learning every single other word, sound, sentence structure, everything by listening to you. So
yeah,
you know, without being forced to say it, they're just listening. So the more opportunity they have to listen to it being said correctly, the more likely they're going to say it.
Yep. So if you give this strategy a go, let us know. We love to have some feedback.
But just remember that you've got this. So if there's any other topics that you'd like to hear about, feel free to message us and we will get talking and giving you the strategies that we know.
Thank you very much for listening. Bye.
Talk to you too.